On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers called the legislature to a special session over the weekend to make changes to the spring election set for tomorrow. At a news conference Friday, he laid out his argument to postpone the election.
The bottom line is that I can't ignore that municipal leaders from Green Bay to Milwaukee to Waukesha significantly condensed the number of polling locations available, creating a dangerous situation where voters, staff, and volunteers will not be able to avoid large groups or practice social distancing when they go out to vote.
Lawmakers held a special session Saturday afternoon that came to an end in seconds. So where do you come down? Forge ahead with the election or postpone amid the global crisis? Are you planning to vote tomorrow? How will you get it done? We're at 800-642-1234. Patrick Marley covers state politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Patrick, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
And Laura White is here as well, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter and co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, thanks for being here. Hey, Laurel, can you hear us? I think we're having a little bit of difficulty here with Laurel. Patrick, bring us up to speed on what happened over the weekend with Governor Evers calling the special session to move to mail-in ballots.
So when the governor calls a special session, the legislature has to meet on the day that he calls them, but they don't have to actually do anything. And so Republicans who don't want to move the election took advantage of that. They came in on Saturday. So actually in the Senate, no Republicans showed up. They just had their appointed chief clerk bang them into session with his gavel and then immediately adjourn the session until today. And so two Democrats showed up for that. It lasted a matter of seconds. And then a few minutes later over in the assembly, Tyler August, who is the speaker pro tem, did the same thing. And just again, a matter of seconds, brought them into session immediately, ended them. One Democrat, Diane Hasselbein, showed up for that, said she didn't want to end the session, but it didn't matter. And so technically they will come back today, but you know, we have no reason to believe they'll do anything different than what they did on Saturday.
So they're expected to come back at 10 o'clock this morning. What is the governor expecting out of this special session? What does he want?
What he wants them to do is to push back the election instead of having it, instead of tomorrow being the big day, having it in May, but having it all be done by mail. He says it's just not safe to go to the polls, and so we should have everybody casting absentee ballots. Of course, people have been casting absentee ballots for a few weeks in record numbers, but some people haven't voted, and you know, we don't know what turnout's going to be like tomorrow, but there could be quite a number of people gathering, and of course, with coronavirus, people aren't supposed to be getting together in large numbers or in really any number outside of their home.
Well, let's hear a bit more from the governor talking on Friday about what led to this move.
My hands are tied, and that's why I spoke to the legislative leaders about this weeks ago. I even publicly called on them to act. They have made it clear they are unwilling to change.
Do we know, Patrick, if the governor has been in talks with Assembly Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald? How are communication lines on this election issue?
Well, first, I think it's important to note that the governor's views on this have changed over time, and his push for delaying the election came pretty late in the game. The week prior to last was when he said that he wanted to have an all-mail election and wanted everybody to have a ballot voted or mailed to them. Now, that was just a little over a week before the election. There would have been massive logistical hurdles to do that. And so it is true that the governor has pushed for this and called for this, but it's really been only in recent days. In the early stages, he was talking about more modest things like, and I say modest in the context of this election, loosening some of the rules for witnesses on absentee ballots, getting rid of the voter ID law for this election, doing things that would make it a little easier to administer an in-person election, but not actually canceling the in-person election as he now wants to do, or I shouldn't say cancel, postpone.
So it wasn't until Friday that we saw a wholesale, basically public announcement for asking to have this election postponed. And it sounds as if legislative leaders haven't really entertained this idea at all.
No, they have, and they've been frustrated that the governor's views on it have changed. They early on were saying they agreed with him that the solution should be to have in-person voting on Tuesday, but to try to maximize the amount of absentee voting. Their view is that you have elections all the time, no matter what. We had them 100 years ago during the Spanish flu, that you have them in times of war, that the Constitution was written in a time of crisis and is built to be able to withstand very difficult times like we're in right now.
We're talking about tomorrow's election with reporters who cover state politics. We have Patrick Marley here with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Laurel White is here as well. Laurel, can you hear me now?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. All right. Well,
all right.
You know, let's look at election clerks, Laurel, across the state, have been voicing concerns. We've heard from them about the surge in absentee ballots and the loss of poll workers. What are election clerks saying at this point? What are you hearing?
Well, really, what you just said are the two highlights. I mean, we know that clerks across the state are dealing with really critical shortages of poll workers. I think Milwaukee is a really good example. We know that they've been operating for at least a week with less than half of what they normally have. Neil Albrecht, who's the head of elections in Milwaukee, said last week he had 400 poll workers when he normally has 1,400. And that number obviously could have changed by this point. We know that Milwaukee made the decision on Friday because of that shortage to go down from 180 polling sites in the state to just 5 polling sites. So that's a really drastic example, but I think it's a good way to illustrate what other clerks are dealing with. We know the Elections Commission has said that as of about a week ago, again, about 111 voting jurisdictions in Wisconsin didn't have enough staff to even open one polling place on Election Day. They've had a week to work on that and get more volunteers and figure things out. But this is a really unprecedented situation for them in terms of staffing. And for the absentee ballot requests, I mean, again, these are numbers that clerks have just never seen or anticipated in terms of the requests that they're getting to mail these out and then processing them when they get back. They actually had to reach out to the State Elections Commission, and the Elections Commission purchased 1 million more envelopes and has been getting this emergency supply of additional envelopes to clerks so they can meet the demand.
Let's bring in a call. Angela is joining us from Madison. Hi, Angela. Angela, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. What is on your mind for tomorrow's election?
Well, I think that it would be nice if the legislature today could find a compromise solution, such as people that requested the absentee ballot by the voting day. Those would be accepted back as valid votes. My situation is I was in Germany 3 weeks ago. I requested an absentee ballot, and much to my surprise, I had to upload a photo. I didn't have the capacity to do that. I don't have a smartphone. And so I thought, I'll just wait till I get back. As things unfolded, I requested the ballot. I unfortunately didn't get it until it was too late to get it in the mail until today.
Yeah.
And because of that, I know it's not going to count. I'm not going out of my house to drop it off at a library. And I vote all the time. I'm 68 years old, and I'm really sad about this.
This
pandemic is unprecedented.
This is one person's story, Angela, in Madison. Your story as well. We have WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel State Politics reporter Patrick Marley. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are talking about tomorrow's election. We're looking at how legislative leaders will be moving on a couple of bills that would spend more than $700 million to help state agencies respond to the pandemic. And in recent days, a second bill tied to economic recovery and health care needs How would you like the state to prioritize funding, especially federal stimulus dollars? What do you want to know about testing results or the surge in unemployment claims? Join in 800-642-1234. We have Patrick Marley and Laurel White who stay with us. They cover state politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Wisconsin Public Radio, respectively. Let's take another call now. Nate is joining us from Milwaukee. And Nate, I understand you are going to be a poll worker.
Yes, I am. I've been a poll worker before, and I am younger than some of the other poll workers. So I feel like I have a better chance of surviving if I get coronavirus than some of the other poll workers who I think about our retirement age. I'd be worried about dying if they were exposed. The location I'll be going to has three different aldermanic districts, which we don't usually go, which means tens of thousands of voters could possibly be going to one spot during a pandemic. And at least one of those districts already has a pretty bad outbreak of coronavirus compared to the other ones. So I have no doubt this is spreading. I'm going to assume that I'm going to be exposed tomorrow. I also have a retirement age mother with health problems that I'm worried coronavirus would kill if she caught it.
Nate,
and I feel, yeah.
Nate, have you been briefed at all about what you will be, what types of aid you will be having in terms of your protective gear or anything else that you will have access to at the poll?
We have been told that the city will provide us gloves and masks, which I'm glad because we'll be handling all the ballots after the election to make sure they're sorted and we go through looking for write-in votes. And so I will certainly be using what the city provides, but we'll be sitting in a room for hours. No matter if somebody walks in coughing or coughs on their ballot or anything like that. And like I said, one of these areas is where there's an active coronavirus outbreak.
Nate, thank you so much for calling in and providing your perspective. Patrick Marley, we've seen a letter signed by 10 mayors across the state asking Secretary Palm to exercise the power to close down buildings where voting occurs and prohibit public gatherings. Do you know if there is any traction on that letter?
I'll answer that in one second. I do want to go back to something that first caller said. She indicated she had requested a ballot and not received it yet and was very concerned about being able to cast that because she's not going to leave her home. It's important to know that there was a judge's ruling last week that said that ballots can be received up until April 13th. So Friday was the deadline for requesting a ballot, but anyone who has requested one, they should get a ballot, and they may get it after Election Day. But even so, under the current court ruling, they can submit that to the clerks, and as long as it's back in the hands of a clerk by April 13th, it will be counted. Now, there's an appeal, so that could change, but that's just an important thing to know out there.
Yeah, over the weekend, the Republican National Committee and others sought an emergency stay. It's made its way to the Supreme Court. What do we know about the emergency stay here in this lower court ruling?
So the hours after the decision came out, the Republicans appealed. There was an appeals decision that affected the witness requirement, but not the main part of the decision, which was that counting would continue until April 13th. The ballots could be received up until that date. It's in the hands of the Supreme Court now. You just got to stay paying attention to the news here to see if the Supreme Court involves itself in this case in the next 24 hours.
We're talking about tomorrow's election with two reporters who cover state politics. We have Patrick Marley here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and WPR's Laurel White. Laurel, I want to ask you as well, do you see momentum growing around what the governor could do with his emergency powers to shut down an election? And also what mayors are providing some pressure here?
Mm-hmm. I think that's really the million-dollar question right now. I think based on these cases moving through the courts, as Patrick was mentioning there, And the request over the weekend for the special session of the legislature to act on this, it's pretty much down, it seems, to some sort of emergency order from the governor, the governor's administration, that would be the thing that would delay the election at this point. We know that the governor has been kind of loath to do that up until now, obviously. There have been some conversations about the legal challenges that might be spurred by him issuing some sort of emergency order about the election, whether his emergency powers actually encompass that sort of ability to do that. I know that actually Patrick did some reporting about someone that is close with the governor saying the governor's concerned about if he issues that order, potentially that could lead to a lawsuit and then compromise some of his other emergency powers during this pandemic. So if he takes a step here, it could hurt other efforts that he wants to make in addressing the coronavirus in Wisconsin. So it's a definitely not a straightforward situation in terms of what the Evers administration can do or really what they want to do.
Well, let's bring in another call now. Stacy is here from Oshkosh. Hi, Stacy.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
My family had requested ballots 2 weeks ago, absentee ballots, and we still haven't received them. And I know several other people in our area that haven't gotten their ballots that requested them around the same time. So now I've lost confidence that I'm even going to receive my absentee ballot. So I guess I have to go out and try and vote at my polling place in person tomorrow and see if they'll let me. So I'm concerned I'll be disenfranchised.
So, Patrick, what happens then if people who requested absentee ballots days ago, weeks ago, don't receive them in the mail?
So I believe you should check with your clerk, but I believe you can cast your ballot at the poll. You know, you can go to the polls and vote there. Obviously, you would not be able to cast your absentee ballot as well. But if you have not returned your absentee ballot, I believe you're allowed to change course and vote at the polls.
So, Laurel, we've talked about Wisconsin being a battleground state in the November presidential election. Could Wisconsin also play a role in, you know, picking the Democratic nominee here? And because we've also seen Biden speak up about Wisconsin's election situation. And, you know, what do you see there?
Well, I think that's an interesting question and something that, you know, my answer today would not have been something we would have anticipated. Several weeks ago, certainly a couple months ago, the Democratic primary has really changed. We were in a position where we thought Wisconsin was going to play a pretty critical role in that primary because there were still a lot of folks involved. It was pretty competitive. Then we've seen, obviously, that kind of cascade of support behind Joe Biden, his campaign looking really strong. And, you know, recent polling is just continuing to confirm that. So we're not certainly in a position that we thought we were going to be in several weeks ago in terms of making a really powerful statement about the Democratic primary. I think it's obviously something that we still want to watch very closely. Bernie Sanders won here in 2016. A lot of really avid Bernie Sanders supporters in Wisconsin, and, you know, keep an eye on what, if any, impact that could have on the race if he does well here. But I don't think conventional wisdom is pointing to a Sanders victory in Wisconsin right now.
Patrick, the presidential candidates will be at the top of the ballot tomorrow. What else are voters deciding on?
Yeah, there's a lot on the ballot, and everything else is not a primary. So the statewide election is for state Supreme Court between Daniel Kelly, the incumbent, and Jill Karofsky, a Dane County judge. There's an amendment to the state constitution over crime victims' rights. That's known as Marcy's Law. Milwaukee mayor, Milwaukee county executive, school boards all over the state, county boards all over the state. And one issue that has been raised if this election were to be delayed is that many of those offices have terms that begin in April. And so if you extend the election beyond April, there'd be this separate question to wrestle with over, you know, are those positions vacant? Do you give the current office holders an extended term? Is that legal? You know, all the questions that are attendant with that have to be considered as there's discussion about whether to move the election.
Okay, Laurel, as we wrap up then, so I understand that the appeal to the Supreme Court is in the hands of Justice Kavanaugh. When might we see any type of response from the High Court?
That could happen anytime. And again, this is about the extension of receiving ballots until April 13th. Republican lawmakers are concerned about ballots that are postmarked after Election Day being counted. So that would be what the Supreme Court is weighing in on. And as we often do with court cases, we are just watching really closely because it could happen really any minute.
Laurel, thank you for joining us. Patrick, thank you as well. Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter. Patrick Marley covers state politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with State Representative John Nygren, co-chair of the legislature's Influential Budget Committee. Lawmakers are weighing economic relief proposals in response to the pandemic. What do you need from lawmakers right now? Call in 800-642-1234. We'll be back with Representative Nygren after this news update on the Ideas Network.